All rise. State of Washington Court of Appeals Division 1 is now in session. The Honorable Michael S. Berry presiding.
Good morning. Please be seated, everyone. First matter on our calendar is State of Washington versus Warnock.
Good morning. May it please the court. David Koch here on behalf of Mr. Warnock. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal, please.
Very well.
We're asking this court to find that the provision in Mr. Warnock's judgment requiring him to participate in a chemical dependency evaluation and fully comply with recommended treatment is overly broad because it's not limited to a dependency on alcohol. It could require Mr. Warnock to participate in screening and treatment for any sort of chemical substance, whether it's cocaine, methamphetamine, prescription pills. Yet there is no evidence in this case that a substance other than alcohol had anything to do with the assault in this case.
Is there any real distinction between alcohol treatment and other chemical dependency treatment? Why should we draw that distinction?
Well, because the distinction has been drawn in the past. I think that Jones makes that clear, and it's based on the language of the statutory scheme. When you're looking at the statutes that apply in Mr. Warnock's case, you know, 9.948505, 703607, there's language in each of those that require that any condition, and this includes this type of condition for chemical dependencies, be crime related. And as the Jones,
wasn't it? I mean, his substance abuse was related to the offense.
Alcohol would be, that's correct. But what we know from Jones is that
should we divide them up by alcohol, heroin, cocaine. Should we divide them up like that?
We should, and we have traditionally, and that's what Jones says. You have to look and decide which substance really related to this particular crime.
Jones drew a distinction between alcohol and methamphetamines. It didn't go further down the line and draw a distinction between methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, etc., did it?
That's true. It didn't have to. But I think the point that was made in the Jones decision was that the particular substance has to be related to the crime that was committed.
Is there any other rational reason to make that distinction other than the fact that they did it in Jones?
I think that there's a reason why the legislature would have wanted it that way, and that's limited resources. They've decided that, you know, the criminal justice system is best focused on the particular disorder addiction that contributed to this particular crime and not fixing every potential addiction that's out there. That's why you have the crime-related, nexus requirement.
Could I ask you a practical problem?
Yes, Your Honor.
In the practical world, it seems to me that certified treatment providers will, as a routine matter, conduct an evaluation, a thorough evaluation, to see what particular addictions. And as a practical matter, what you're saying is that if the treatment provider determines that they're inextricably entwined, substances like methamphetamine or marijuana, and clearly in this case, as you concede, alcohol is appropriate, that the treatment provider should ignore the other substances and only treat alcohol. And how does that work in the practical world? Because we don't decide these cases in a vacuum.
No, you don't. And, you know, I guess my response to that is, you know, if in the practical world that is what the treatment providers are doing, then that would be inconsistent with the authority that's given to them based on the court's judgment and sentence. That if the court's judgment and sentence indicates that there is a particular type of addiction that was related to the crime, and the judgment should indicate which one that is, then the treatment provider should be limited to assessing for that particular one. Otherwise, it goes beyond the scope of what was authorized under the judgment and sentence. So it may be a situation where the practical realities are clashing with what I think is the legal authority for what the court can authorize those treatment providers to do. Now, I think it's also important to note that, you know, the judge is not the only one who has the authority to order the offender to do something that's treatment related. You know, DOC also has the authority to do that as well under 704. I don't think it is.
Well, I looked at the transcript, and
right, And I know what provision that you're exactly the comment. And I think it's the best can be say it's confusing because Judge Kurtz did mention DOC at pages 148 and 149 of the sentencing transcript because he says if the CCO feels it's appropriate to have an evaluation to comply with recommended treatment in terms of substance abuse and alcohol, that would be appropriate. He then goes on to talk about how he's not going to order DV treatment because of the expenses. And then he comes back to the drug alcohol and he says this time, but to the extent of drug alcohol treatment and anger management, that is fine. The second time he talks about drug and alcohol treatment, he doesn't mention DOC that time. And when you look at the actual judgment itself, it's not tied to DOC in any way. The judgment and sentence on page 5 simply says the defendant shall participate in the following, chemical dependency evaluation, and fully comply with all recommended treatment. Now, I think it's also important to point out on this same page, page 5 of the judgment and sentence, up above where I just read, there's kind of a thick paragraph about halfway through that lists 8 different conditions that Judge Kurtz imposed. And the 8th one says, abide by any additional conditions imposed by DOC under 9.948704. So, you know, he certainly gave DOC the authority to add additional conditions if it met the requirements of 704. But this order that Mr. Warnock participate in a chemical dependency evaluation recommended treatment is actually separate from that. It's not tied to DOC discretion in any way. He's just ordering that Mr. Warnock participate in this.
Well, DOC could order him to obtain a substance abuse evaluation. I mean, it's clear from the transcript the trial judge knew the difference between substance abuse and alcohol abuse because he used the two terms.
I think that's correct.
Conjunctively.
Yes.
So DOC can order him to get a substance evaluation as in addition. So the practical effect of what you're arguing is that we should send this back, get the judge to confine it to alcohol and then let DOC take over, is that what you're saying? Because
well, at that point, DOC would have to look at this and say, you know, have we met 9.948704, which gives DOC the authority to modify our conditions. But, you know, in order for them to do that, they have to find that this particular condition they're adding is based upon the risk to community safety. And if they find that it is, and therefore they're going to add an additional condition, some other sort of assessment or treatment, they can do that. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, that's not what this judgment says. This judgment just orders the evaluation and treatment without limitation as to what type of substance it is. And that is not compliant with the statutory scheme. I think really, you know, the only way to figure out what Judge Kurtz meant when he mentioned DOC the first time but then didn't put it in the judgment sentence is to send it back to Judge Kurtz and ask him to clarify.
Well, he's an experienced judge, and he knows that DOC has the authority to impose additional conditions based on further evaluation because, practical matter, the treatment provider is going to do both. They're going to do a full assessment and determine whether or not there's other substances involved here. I think the problem here is really the form.
Yes, I agree. The form is a problem.
It's a check the box. When you're doing sentencing, as all of the judges sitting here know, you just check the box.
I think that's correct. And I have not seen, I don't believe I've seen the form done this way. We have more King County cases than we do Snohomish County cases, but it's been my experience that, you know, either there's a space for them to write in specifically what type of treatment, or if there isn't, the judges will make a little mark and say alcohol or cocaine. And I think the form is a problem because it's too broad. I'll go ahead and reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Tom Curtis. I'm a deputy prosecutor in Snohomish County, and I'm representing the state this morning. Judge Lau, to address your concern about the check the box form, the form uses the language of the statute.
It does.
And the reason, if I can extrapolate a little bit, since I work for the same prosecutor that designed the form, the reason we put that broad language in there is because we wanted to mirror the statute. We didn't want the judges to do something the statute didn't specifically authorize. Going to your other issue about, as a practical matter, any substance abuse evaluation, regardless of alcohol or drugs, is going to address any type of substance that the person might be abusing. Actually, the legislature directed the DSHS to develop an evaluation that covers not only substance or chemical dependency, but also mental issues. And then it directed that DOC use whatever evaluation DSHS came up with. So the legislature determined that it wanted a broader approach, at least in terms of chemical dependency. And so I think to now say, well, we're going to take what the legislature did, which is say if it finds chemical dependency is an issue or crime-related, then it can order an evaluation and treatment. We're going to substitute our judgment for that of the legislature and reduce it to the substance, specific substance that was used or appears to have been used that contributed to the crime. I would point out one other thing. If you, or if the court believed the defendant's testimony, he only had two drinks over a period of several hours on the night of the event. Two drinks would hardly by themselves explain his belligerence, his aggressiveness, and the other things that happened that were observed by the police and by the people who were involved who were at the bar.
So
there is at least a suggestion that there might have been something else involved.
Well, I think that is, I looked at the record, and I think it would be speculating that there was anything else going on there. He had some drinks before he even got to the bar, and he has a prior DUI that was discussed at sentencing. But I think you run into the problem of the statutory requirement that it be crime-related. And I think DOC is going to catch him anyway at the other end as a practical matter. But the form does indicate mental health evaluation, anger management, and the like. I think judges are well aware, and I think you should be confident that judges know the limits of their, at least with respect to sentencing, the limits of their authority and can make appropriate findings. But I think, you know, it would go a long way to changing the form.
Okay.
But that's just me talking, so.
Well, we appreciate your comments, I assure you.
They concede this guy needs an alcohol evaluation and any recommended treatment. So really the question is, well, what do we do about substance abuse? As the trial court did mention it, what's your recommendation in terms, if this case needs to go back, what's the remedy here?
Well, if the case needs to go back, I assume it would be to say that the statutory language of chemical dependency evaluation is overbroad and that it conflicts with the requirement that the evaluation be for crime-related substances, and an instruction to the court below to amend the judgment and sentence to show only an alcohol evaluation and treatment. I assume that would be the remedy should the court find that that's the limitation that's needed. Whether that, you know, since that does conflict with the statutory language, I don't see that as necessarily a problem, but it does.
How does it conflict with the statutory language?
The language on says if uses the term expression chemical dependency evaluation, not alcohol, not drugs.
Well, you're assuming that alcohol is not a chemical.
I'm assuming that chemical dependency covers all of that.
True.
And so the legislature used that term, the court used that term in the judgment and sentence to indicate what needed to happen, an evaluation for chemical dependency.
I think therein lies the problem, though.
Okay, well, I understand the concern, and I understand the conflict, or at least potential conflict, with the statute that requires the conditions be crime-related. So that there's a little tension there, I agree. I also would agree with your earlier comments that as a practical matter, it may not make any difference whether the judgment and sentence is amended to show alcohol only or not, if there's some indication to the Department of Corrections that there's a different substance that's a problem in their community safety considerations, they could order an evaluation for that and treatment as well. And I think the other side has agreed that the DOC would have that authority if they made the requisite findings. So the only other point I would make is in the reply brief, the defense suggested that the court, this court, tell the trial court to strike the part of the record where he says substance abuse and alcohol, or I don't have the exact language in front of me, but I would point out that the case that the cases the defense relied on were cases where, in imposing the firearm restriction, the judge went beyond what the statute requires in terms of the ban on possessing or controlling a firearm. The language here is nowhere near that broad. It doesn't impact on a fundamental constitutional right in terms of firearms or in terms of association or any of the other concerns that the court raised when addressing the overbroad firearms restriction. So I would suggest that if the court wants the judgment and sentence changed, that's fine, but I don't believe that the comments of Judge Kurtz need to be amended at this point. That's all I have. If there are no further questions, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I ask that the judgment and sentence be affirmed.
The only thing I'll add is that while Mr. Curtis is correct that the Snohomish County form does parrot the language from 94A607, it only uses part of the language. I mean, it uses the term chemical dependency, and that is the language used in the statute, but what the form leaves out that the statute contains is 607 makes it clear there still has to be that connection, though, between the particular dependency and the crime, because it talks about permitting the court to allow or to order the evaluation and treatment where the dependency is reasonably related to the circumstances of the crime. So again, that's where the crime-related part comes in, that's missing from the Snohomish County form. It could be easily fixed if there's just a place anywhere on the form to note what the particular chemical dependency is. And if this is amended to make it clear that it's just an alcohol dependency, that would comply with the statute, and we ask the court to order that be the case. Unless the court has any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.